Blog Talk Radio.
This is Ken on Tuesday evening. Lovely day here in East Tennessee, about 83 degrees during the day. It's hard to believe March, I mean, November 1 is here, but it's here. It's almost Christmas time. I'm going to study the biology of life. The next few lessons, or next few studies that we'll do, will be done in accordance with this. And I got about 7 topics. But most of us were budding biologists as children, exploring the world around us to satisfy our curiosity about plants and animals and insects. Often we would wonder about how birds could fly, how fish could hold their breath, how a tadpole could become a frog, and in school we were able to peer through the lens of a microscope to see the tiniest life swimming about underneath the surface of the ordinary. Biology, of course, simply means the study of life. As adults, we know that life is much more complex than what we imagine as children. And while many of us did not find a career in biology, we still marvel at the many expressions of life around us. As adults, we consider the important questions about life. How did life begin? What makes humans distinct from animals? Is there any truth to the theories promoted by Charles Darwin and other evolutionists? As Christians, we want to know how the origin of life is described in the Bible. Did God really create all the things in just 6 days? Were Adam and Eve real people or just symbols of human life? Or were they simply products of biological change from primates to humans? Darwin's expedition on the HMS Beagle led him to the Galapagos Islands, where he conducted research on the much-publicized finches. The results of his study was instrumental in writing of the now famous book, The Origin of the Species, which has impacted study of biology for over 150 years. Many scientists, educators, and biologists, evolutionists, and are in separate study of biology remains the forefront battle between biblical creation and evolutionary theory. Today, many doubts are rejected God's word because they feel at odds with the truth of Darwinian evolution. I challenge you to study about Darwin and his death. Are you confused about how he reconciled your beliefs with what is reported on the news or what is being now taught through the authoritative truth in schools and universities, even in Christian schools? I was trying to say, my words won't come out tonight. Has your faith in the validity of God's word been challenged by questions related to biology? Many of you wrestle with questions such as, how do you explain the tremendous diversity and variation displayed in creation? How have we evolved from apes or human unique creations? Can mutations be beneficial for biological development? Was death a part of God's perfect creation? How did so many people arise from Adam and Eve? Were Adam and Eve really the first human couple? Have new scientific discoveries been proven that Darwin's theories are true? Believing the Bible is divinely inspired, inerrant, and authoritative word of God. We trust it for the answers to the questions of life, including biology. Therefore, we first look at God's word to address the issue of biological origins. In fact, biology can be rightly studied if the Bible is not taken seriously. I want to repeat that. In fact, biology cannot be rightly studied if the Bible is not taken seriously. Two events recorded in Genesis changed the world and impacted every discipline of science. The curse of mankind changed the world. Two events ranked in Genesis challenged the world and impacted every discipline of science. The curse of mankind, including all creation and the global flood. Have you ever considered the significant impact that the events had on biology? The biblical account of creation and the evolutionary approach to science mutually exclusive worldwide worldviews and recording regarding biological origins and other aspects of biology. Many call into question the validity of God's word based on evolutionary ideas that have permeated the study of biology and the biological origins. This study is designed to equip you with the answers to prevalent questions about biology and the Bible, and to make you aware of the theological compromise, the result when one attempts to integrate evolutionary science into the Genesis record. The study chapters address various biological topics readily attacked by those trying to undermine the authority of God's word. Not surprising, the biblical account continues to be very confirmed by new scientific discoveries. I'll say that again. Not surprisingly, the biblical account continues to be confirmed by new scientific discoveries. At the end of this study, you should be confident in using God's word to address issues in biology, including biological origins, as you encounter those and who are determined to dismiss the biblical message in favor of evolution. The Bible is not at odds with science. Rather, science confirms the text and every word of our Creator. You know, some of the things we'll study in the next few weeks will be God who gives life according to its kind, to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth in the image of God. Excuse me. Every tribe and tongue and people and nation, thorns and thistles, to dust ye shall return. Life in the blood, the cost of compromise. I hope you're with me for the next few weeks as we study these topics. It'll give you a grip on the biblical account of creation. Every scientific study comes out today gives validity to God's word. God is eternal. God is omnipotent, omniscient, and all-powerful. God loves us. He loves you. And over the next few weeks, I hope I can bring it to you straightforward, without compromise, to show you how God created the earth. After he created the earth, how sin came into the earth, and how God deals with sin. But let me end this about how God deals with sin. God is so pure and so omnipotent, so all-knowing, and so uncompromising in his truth. God cannot look at sin. He hates sin. That's right, I said he hates sin. And yet humankind committed sin. then God had to redeem it. And he did that through his son, his own self, born to a virgin birth, and gave himself up to die for the sins of the world. And the only thing you have to do is look at that death on the cross, the shedding of his blood, believe it in faith, commit your life to God. You don't have to do anything special except just give yourself to God, believing that he gave his only son, that whosoever shall believe in the son should not perish but everlasting life, and that's salvation. When we die, our soul goes to be with God, to be redeemed one day when he returns, and all of us will face judgment. But you, tonight, give yourself to this belief that God gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe shall not die, but have everlasting life. As we continue our study, we'll find out how this happened. May God bless you Tuesday. Next Tuesday, if God gives us life, that's going to be the topic. I love you, and my number is 803. Excuse me, I'm going to give my area code. 865-803-7334. 865-803-7334. I love to talk to you, but if you don't want to talk, text me. Ask me a question, and I'll respond accordingly. 65-803-7334. Have a blessed evening, and we love you.